I'm happy that you've got your voice today. Mine's coming back after a few days without it.
That is promising.
It's like I go through the whole winter and don't really get sick, and then now it's like coming up to the, you know, it's like warmer weather feels like summer, and it's caught up with me. So
yeah, you get like a summer cold. That's what I had like last week.
Yeah, so I'm gonna push through it, and we'll see how it goes. Working our way to WWDC. Let's start out with talking about WWDC this week. Something I've been very anxious about is Apple inviting press to WWDC. So the process goes for Apple's developer conference is that they announce the date of the conference. Lately, it's been like in like March, April timeframe, and they announced the June conference date, which we always know is like the first half of June, but like which week is it? It's kind of up in the air. And then they open up a lottery system for developers to give their name and credit card information to be picked at random to pay $3,000 to attend the conference for a week.
Now it's not actually, it's $1,600.
So $1,600. I don't know where I had the number. Okay, cool. So
you said it's 50% cheaper. What a bargain.
$1,600. And so then your credit card gets charged and you have a ticket to go. But I'm not a developer. I only kind of care about the opening keynote and then like on my own time watching through sessions, like kind of finding things that are newsy, but not actually attending sessions and like asking questions about my app because I don't have one and that kind of thing. Now, Greg Barbosa, who works for 9to5 Mac, he purchased a ticket. He does developer-y things and he wants to attend the conference for that reason. But as press, like I'm not gonna, I didn't want to pay the money. So I wait until this time of the year, which is the end of the month before the conference, where Apple invites press. And last year, we 9to5 Mac received one press pass. Our colleague Jordan Kahn received it and got to attend the event. This year, 9to5 Mac received two, Jordan and myself. And so next month, I'll get to go to WWDC in person for the first time, see the keynote. I've been to lots of like not Apple events where Apple people are attending and speaking. Like I've seen Tim Cook at multiple conferences be interviewed, where I've been invited as press to like attend to those conferences. I've been to, an Eddie Q thing. I've been to different things, but I've not been to WWDC. So, or like technically an Apple event, you know, if you recall back in the education event, 9to5 Mac received one press pass and it went to Bradley Chambers because his expertise is education and it was an education event. So I'm happy to get to go for the first time. And
I am happy that Apple loves us twice as much.
Yeah,
and excited for you to be on the floor.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So I'll be in San Jose from June 2nd to June 7th. So all of our developer friends attending, I look forward to saying hi. One of the nice things about the press line is that developers will line up for the conference at like, you know, starting at like 4 a.m., sometimes even the night before, to get a good seat for the conference and for the keynote. The press line, I think, is like 8 o'clock, you know, and it's not a massive line. So like if you're at the end of it, it's not that different from like the beginning of it. So you get to sleep in a little bit. But I kind of plan on being like early since it's my first time doing one of these things. And seeing the landscape, so
you get to walk past the rabble of developers,
yeah,
in the massive line,
yeah. High fives like an Apple store opening kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always funny when they open the queues, everyone runs through like the open bit of the conference center so they can get to the seats because like the front of the there's no like strict old seating, so it's just like whoever gets in there can sit where they want.
Like, let's go, dark mode.
As soon as the line dissipates, everyone just charges through.
Yeah, if you watch YouTube, you can see these videos, and it looks just like not civil at all. Even the press line is like that. They're like, no running. So I'm looking forward to it. I plan on capturing the experience as much as possible and sharing it here. So, last year they had that session, they had like a podcast booth that you could book for an hour and record a podcast in person. Now you won't be there, but we won't do like a happy hour there, but if it exists again, maybe I can do like a 9to5 Mac Daily there, but we will have the usual show. But where are you watching the keynote from?
Normally I watch it at home, like a boring person. But this year, I'm actually going to AllConf London, which is this thing they're trying out here, like obviously in the US, AltConf lost the whole week, like running parallel to the WWDC, like main conference, is like a free alternative. They're experimenting with other countries now. So in London, on the keynote day, they're doing like an evening session where they, you know, project the video stream and have like a panel discussion after and stuff. So I'll be there with about 400 other people. So that should be fun.
That's awesome. So you'll be in public in public. You're going somewhere.
You make it sound like I never leave. Wow. Which is not too far to the truth.
Exactly. Yeah.
I will be in the real world. Shocker.
Yeah. So you're from London. You're going to, is that like a ticketed event where you would need to already have acquired a ticket to get to go?
Yeah, that is sold out now. I mean, it's free, but yeah, there's like 400 seats. So it was free. So you had to like order and get in there.
Yeah, cool. One of these days, maybe we'll get together in San Jose and do some happy
hour. One of these days, we'll meet each other in the real world.
Yeah, I've met nearly every 9-to-5 Mac colleague in person multiple times, but the ocean between us keeps us apart. So for now.
Maybe the magic will be lost, Zach, and then we'll never do happy hour again. For now. We'll like, hate each other and be like, see ya.
Never meet your heroes. Yeah, so you know, it's a cool process. So you get the email, and you know, part of it too is like it's a story for us. So and it's one that gets a lot of attention. So a few weeks ago, I prepared this story, and just in case it, you know, went up any time, it was kind of the same, you know, time when we expected it to go. And this year, Apple was a little bit later than they were last year, maybe because it's not a new location this year, so they didn't need to be as early. But I was kind of on the edge of my seat for a few days, like wondering where are these, not even knowing I would get a ticket. And then it arrived in my inbox. Now it's this, like the invitation is like the same theme as the, like all of WWDC 2018 stuff with the, you know, the dot matrix design and like the 3D graphics popping up over it. But once you confirm that you're going to the event, you get like confirmation email. And if you're looking at it on like, I guess anywhere but like the web, you get a GIF that is like a toggle box, you know, a little circle slider.
The switch, like the on-off iOS switch.
Exactly. And it animates from like off to filled on with a green background. And I know people always look at these invitations and they're like, of any like event, and they're like, you know, please be a clue. And this year, people want this to be some clue about iOS and Mac design. Like let's have that depth and that detail. This thing is like such a teaser because like the GIF is even better than like everything we've seen so far. And it's like, I mean, I don't have any hope that is what design will look like this year. I think it's just like really good artwork, but it's so good, isn't it?
It looks so cool, and it like perfectly, it's like a perfect 3D recreation of what the iOS switch does today. Like the way, it's not just like a fake replica of it. It's like exact in the same way of the green, you know, like fill state expands from the middle, and it's all like layered and it's such a nice little touch. The problem is I don't want to stare at it too long, because then I get like sad about the current flat look of, and you know, sterile mess of the current iOS design. It's like, no. And obviously, like, this is clearly just like, you know, beautiful artwork, and if you made every single control as like rich and detailed as this, then it'd just be like so much overkill, and it wouldn't actually work as an actual app. It really is like modern art versus, you know, practicality. But something, you know, closer to that arena would be welcomed. But yeah, I don't think this is a clue, and I don't think we're going to see it this year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just look at like watchOS and tvOS is what you can do with depth and shadows while still maintaining like, you know, simple design. You know, but at the end of the spectrum, there's this, which looks really cool. I tweeted out a link to it, but as a GIF and as a Twitter compressed image, it looks, you know, like a cartoon compared to the thing that you get in the source image. But it reminds me of Cultured Code's website. You know, they're the makers of Things. And the Things app kind of pulls in some of these elements too. Like they have a nice design, but their blog is like, it's like this like drawn thing. They have lots of really good artwork. And so it reminds me of that, especially when it's like Twitter compressed to look like more cartoony than it does in the source image. Yeah, it's art. That's about all it is art.
I tell you what I'm hoping for. With the March event, obviously, for the first time, they had, like, these custom theme for the slide deck, right, with the hand-drawn text and icons. And even when they had guests on the stage, they had like line drawn outlines of the people. And these were like animated and clearly, you know, they're one-off special things they did just for this event that wasn't even streamed.
Right.
But it like felt so good how it fitted into the flow of like the whole Apple Pencil environment and the announcements and creativity. And it matched the, you know, it matched the invite. I'm kind of hoping they have a similar thing for the WWDC keynote. Like, I'm sure they're not going to have every single slide with like 3D animated graphics, but you know, some like basic theme of like the dot grid background, like the isometric boxes, and then, you know, maybe some transitions between that kind of look like the glassy finishes. That'd be pretty nice and kind of carry on the aesthetic.
Yeah, I think it's a cool theme too. Like, what was last year the year when it was like drawn people at small scale? And another year before that, 2016, was whenever they had, it was like all code. And so if you actually work in code, it was kind of boring. It was just meant to look like techie.
Yeah, last year it was like the anim- it was like top down, wasn't it? Of like the little people walking
around. Yeah, bird's eye view. Yeah.
But the actual like slides are still, were still like black and white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a,
so this year,
a,
I mean,
a blue gradient with white text.
They've done the education event where they had super cool slides, and they even did like the homepage and that theme for a day. Yeah, people have been crazy for this theme so far this year. So it would be cool to do the same thing in the keynote and maybe for the homepage for the day. And Apple has said that they will live stream the WWDC keynote. Now, I was a little bit concerned about this because, as we know, they didn't live stream the education event that was held in a high school, probably because of the equipment. They didn't trust the equipment. There wouldn't, like, I don't think there were any laws preventing it, but I think just the fact that they didn't have their own AV equipment. Maybe, but they did show it afterwards, so it wasn't like you could never see it. But as the events went out, I will say this, on the web page where you confirm your attendance, there was a section that was broken. It was, I said, page not found, and I think it was supposed to be an embed for the event page on Apple.com, like Apple.com/Apple Events/June 2018 or whatever, and that page wasn't ready for several hours. And then it finally went up in the, you know, yesterday evening, and that's where they confirmed that there would be a live stream. But for like a little bit, I was thinking, you know, maybe this WWDC really is so low key that they're not even going to show it like in live. They're gonna show it afterwards.
That'd be such a bombshell.
It really would have been. Yeah.
I mean, they had already announced that they were going to live stream the sessions, because that's one of the big perks of not having to buy, you know, the $1,600 ticket and go and fly there in person, is that they now not only release videos for all of like the developer sessions, they stream most of them.
Right.
And
yeah,
they'd announced they were doing the same again this year. So it would have been pretty weird if they didn't do the keynote itself. And I think like the, you know, focus on new features, performance and stability stuff has been slightly like overblown and like,
yeah, it sets the stage for like amazement, right?
Yeah, it's the best expectation set. Everyone's like, there's gonna be nothing at all. I think you'll still like come away with like a pretty packed show, even if there's less on like iOS and Mac. They'll still have like a full, you know, whatever they did for TV and watch and whatever else they have in, you know, in the offing. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's gonna be a low-key show, even for iOS. Like, There might be less major stuff, but they can, you know, fluff out a few of the demos, and they still have like five flagship features and stuff. Like, you don't. The funny thing is, people forget how bad it was like before. Like, you don't have to go back too many years, and you go back to like the June keynote in 2010. Like, iBooks was a tentpole feature of iOS 4, like iBooks on iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, changing your wallpaper on the home screen was a flagship feature. Like, people forget quickly how, you know, like jam-packed and like feature-filled now these modern like Apple keynote like presentations are.
Yeah, iPhone OS through iOS 4, iPhone OS 1, iOS 4, is like those keynotes. They're awesome to see Steve Jobs performing. Like, you know, the way he communicates, the way he presents himself was like, it's history. But in terms of like comparing to like the content of a keynote today, it's like, it's really slow paced. It relies heavily on developers to do demos of like things that are not impressive today anymore. It's also like historical now. I think like iOS 5 was pretty packed, and like iOS 6 was like kind of like an off year, but then iOS 7 through now, every year, it may seem like not much looking back, but if you go back and revisit, I think you'd be surprised by how much stuff there is. Like, you know, I've heard discussions about like iOS 10 and 2016, it was a low-key keynote. Like, looking back, that was a big year. Like, the home app, there was so much stuff. It was the first year that there was tvOS to discuss, you know, just by having four platforms now with watchOS and tvOS in addition to iOS and macOS, there's a lot to discuss anyway. And last year, they relied pretty heavily on hardware to fill the keynote. You know, like they had new iPads, they had new MacBooks, they had new iMacs, they had an iMac Pro to tease out, a HomePod to tease out a little bit early. So it was like half hardware to fill the event and a lot of stuff in the software.
Yeah, last year was really interesting. Like for the first like half of that whole show, they were like barely breathing. They were running. Right. It was almost too much stuff they put in there, which is weird because it, you know, a lot of it was kind of things that they didn't really have to do in the main stage. I didn't think, like, for a start, they didn't have to tease the HomePod early if they didn't want to. All of the Mac stuff, I kind of felt it was like they were doing the spiel without actually coming out and saying explicitly they were doing the, we still care about pro Mac users, because it was, you know, just before that they'd had the round table pro and stuff. So I think they were like forcing those narratives, and they like really packed stuff in. Like if you go back and watch the 2017 keynote, like the first hour is just people nonstop talking. Mm-hmm. And they even fitted in like the VR demo and stuff like that could have all been cut for time. Like it was kind of weird how like almost overstuffed it was in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this year, I don't think we have a good sense really of like if there's going to be new hardware. I think if there is new hardware, it will be a surprise. If there's like spec updates to Macs, that's like, okay, yeah, that's easy to do. Throw it up there. But if there's like a newly designed, like any kind of tweaked to a Mac, I think that'll be kind of surprising. I feel like if there are new iPads, that'll be surprising, you know. And I'm not sure what else is left to be shown in terms of hardware.
Mac Mini.
Yeah, it's a product that still exists in our lineup.
Yeah, I mean, the iPad, like, we kind of have a rough idea of what it's going to look like, but it seems like all the rumors are pointing to, like, the fall. Same with the, you know, the supposed, like, cheap but better, like, 13-inch Retina MacBook Air amalgamation. Again, it seems like that's coming later in the year, but on that stuff, they, if it's you know, coming out in July or August, they could tease it now anyway and just say coming soon. Like, I just think we would have heard more about the hardware side of life by now, you know, like a week and a half, 2 weeks before the show.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, maybe, I think we'd have a more clearer picture on like there is new hardware on the way.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe by the time you're listening to this, that's old news and you know everything that's coming by now. But as of the 23rd, we don't know yet. And another thing that's kind of hanging out there is like, where is this iPhone that was in that database that we kind of trust that has a really good track record of here it is in the database and then here it is for sale? We're still in the time frame of like it being reasonable. So it could be a WWDC thing where it's like, and here is the 2018 iPhone SE spec bumps. Like, and just because they're at a keynote, they include it as a slide. It's a weird fit, I think, if there's no other hardware to show.
They could just, I mean, there's still a possibility they just release it next week.
Yeah, that's
on
true.
On Tuesday, do a nice press release.
Yeah.
The new iPhone SE, blah, 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 blah.
And there's usually, like, but around this time of the year, some stuff that won't fit in the keynote, but they want to get out there ahead of time. Like, I think, wasn't it App Store search ads were like that, where they wanted to get it out there before the keynote happened, and that was, like, a week.
Yeah, and that same year, they did, like, the new subscription policy where, you know, any app could have auto-renewing subscriptions inside them.
Yeah, and that was totally developer-centric, like, but they got it out there before the keynote. Yeah, just to give it like a proper attention, I guess. So we haven't really gotten any of that yet, so maybe the iPhone SE 2018 fits in that camp too, so we'll see. But otherwise, like I think that would be surprised by how much there is, you know, in the keynote, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it, so... not too long, less than 2 weeks away. Let's talk about Siri for a moment. So this week there was a story that went way too viral, including on some major news outlets like CNBC, and like every other news outlet on the planet reported that
everything but all 9 to 5 Matt, basically.
Yeah, there were a few of like the Apple centric sites that knew better than this, but anyone that's like not able to report it, and some did too, but someone noticed that if you ask Siri to tell me about WWDC, that Siri would give you a few responses like, I'm learning, and you know, I'm getting a lot smarter, Siri's getting a brand new voice. And yeah, it was one that was like HomePod related. It was
yeah, I'm gonna be in a new body.
I'm gonna have a meshy shiny and matte body. Not really shiny, more meshy and matte. It's like, huh, okay. So Siri's gonna get a new voice again this year. Siri's actually going to get smarter this year. And is there going to be a new HomePod this year? And that got reported by like CNBC in so many places. It was like, how far can this go before they realize that these were last year's Siri responses to tell me about WWDC? And so eventually we had to publish a story that was, you know, just FYI, so you know, those are last year's answers. If you look at the headlines a year ago, it was the same exact responses before the keynote. And I think it just shows, you know, for one, I want to discuss it because I think it's totally fair that if you're not like reporting on Apple day to day that you miss this and you think it's new, because like Apple should have removed those responses or changed them for this year, not kept them in. And that's just like a problem with Siri, is that it doesn't get the attention that it needs. And it's totally fair, like if maybe even if you work at CNBC, to think this is new and report it and think it's a clue. But I also think it just speaks to you know, Apple not giving Siri the attention. And they eventually did remove the responses, but it was like a day later.
It was too late.
It was way too late.
Way too late.
The damage was done. So now,
yeah, like it's so funny how, you know, it's something so small, right? Like, it's like, oh, the teaser statements about, you know, our upcoming developer conference are stale. But it's just like emblematic of the overall problem with Siri, and here you are, everyone using them as examples of, oh, Siri's about to get smarter, when really it's an example of it being, you know, as dumb and stupid and as out of date as ever. Yeah. Like
if you don't think it was smarter last year, then you're really gonna be disappointed, unless it actually does get a big improvement. But this isn't what that is. Yeah, this isn't a teaser for that.
Yeah, it's like it could be coincidental.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm still hoping for the upgraded Siri voice for more than just US female.
Right. As you know, I talk often about preferring the male voice for some reason, and you know, I skip over to the female voice every now and then just to like hear it, and it is way better. But it's, you know, the male voice in the US needs that upgrade too. And then in the UK, male is the default for you, and you don't have the update yet, like the upgraded voice.
Yeah. Not on any of the genders.
Yeah. So,
and same with Australia.
Yeah.
Etc.
So maybe you actually are getting an upgraded voice this year.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. Like the HomePod, if you use the HomePod with Siri, like the US female voice is like miles ahead of the quality of the other voices.
Yeah. Yeah, we use this female voice in the kitchen HomePod. It's kind of a shared space between the living room and the dining room and the kitchen. And I just do that just to hear it, you know, compared. But otherwise I use the male voice. And am I wrong in thinking that the original Siri voice, who is it, Susan Bennett, the bass for it, is no longer attached to the current, you know, like upgraded voice?
Yeah, that's correct. So they obviously Susan Bennett was there. Then I think in iOS 7 they upgraded the Siri voice, but still using the underlying recordings from Bennett. And now with the iOS 11 machine learning voice, they got new voice talent in to record the female voice.
Because some of these stories are like, the Susan Bennett voice you know and love is going to get much better. Like, now they don't use her anymore. Like, I'm not even sure that she realizes that, because like it's in her interest to promote herself as the Siri voice. you know, like for...
Yeah, and she does loads of interviews like, I'm the voice of Siri.
Right. Like, it's like,
out of date.
No. So, okay, I just want to make sure that I wasn't crazy and like, you know, in physical pain whenever I read that for no reason. So, okay, cool. All right. So I think, is it like the new response just like tells you when WWDC is or something? Like after they fixed it, it's just like next week or something. So, all right, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Next thing.
Zach, I'm going to interrupt you here with some breaking news.
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What project has been canceled and put to the trash bin?
Marzipan.
Apple Car is back, baby!
Oh, all right.
The New York Times is just reporting that Apple has partnered with Volkswagen to make driverless cars.
Volkswagen, the company that's reputation now is for cheating like EPA standards and like lying about how their diesel cars were affecting, you know, reporting.
They're going to turn some of Volkswagen's transporter vans into Apple self-driving shuttles for employees.
Hmm.
and this is a project that is consuming nearly all of the Apple Car team's attention, according to the New York Times.
Okay. Wasn't there one story
Project Titan is alive and well, according to this report.
Yeah, it's not quite Apple's making a car, but I'll take it. Wasn't there one story that the car project was becoming like, you know, just about like, you know, we know that they're doing autonomous testing. They want to be caught up whenever that takes off. But that like part of the goal was to have, you know, like on campus transportation like that. Like a less specific version of that had been reported before, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And like, I mean, still, Apple isn't doing all this work just to make their employee transport better. Like,
right.
There has to be a long-term plan here.
Yeah, it's dog fooding.
It says the team is now mostly consumed with developing the self-driving shuttle, but the project still lacks a clear plan beyond that.
Yeah, it was the New York Times that had reported in August 2017 about the, you know, between campus transportation for employees, you know, self-driving stuff. They called it PEL.
So I guess now they're working with Volkswagen and stuff like that. Yeah. So the
acronym was PEL, short for Palo Alto to Infinite Loop. So I guess they had to change that for the new campus. So,
well, there you go.
Well, okay.
Apple Car, baby.
Okay. I'll take it. It doesn't sound like a total. Like, I mean, the whole car thing, like that was whenever this run of Happy Hour kind of kicked off again. Was when like Project Titan, Apple was making a car, a Tesla competitor, was like brand new, and like one of the early reports from like Wall Street Journal was by 2020 they're going to be shipping this thing, unveiling it, and that project has changed in scope greatly since then. That's not quite a return yet to Apple's going to sell you a car in the future, is it?
Not quite, no. But it is news. Like we got that kind of train of thought had definitely gone quiet for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I think was August 2017, really. So
yeah, and then nothing.
Yeah,
to quote their infamous leader, it's going to be Christmas Eve for a while.
Christmas Eve for a while for anyone waiting on Apple to compete with Tesla in a car.
And at this point, definitely longer than 2020, I'd say, if they're.
Yeah.
You know, not yet seriously working on an actual car.
Yeah, for a while there was a lot of stuff crammed into 2020. It was the car, it was the VR headset. It was like lots of happening in 2020. Because 2020 feels futuristic until you're like in 2018 and 2019, and it's like, oh, that's just next year.
Yeah, like next year, 2020 is literally
next year. Yeah. Although I do think the 2020 year would be really, really timely for a VR headset or like some kind of glasses, just because like 2020 vision. And you can totally, you know, play off of that, but it's not gonna happen.
Oh, what? Because you've got great eyesight.
Yeah, yeah. I guess hindsight.
Now
is
that would be a good market in life.
Yeah, if you have like a bad year in 2020, you can be like hindsight is 2020. Like, all right. Let's talk about this report that says Apple is making a $200 version of the HomePod. Sometime this year, but not branded Apple, branded Beats. This comes from, I think it was like supply chain kind of stuff from Chinese social media. A site called loveios.net reported it, saying that Apple's in talks with MediaTek to be the supplier for the cheaper HomePod. I think this kind of gets misconstrued, though, because Apple's kind of talked a little bit about this, actually, and I don't think it's the $200 HomePod, which, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there another report that says Apple is thinking about doing a cheaper HomePod, like, for real?
Yeah, KGI said Apple mulls cheaper model of HomePod,
okay.
I think they've, like, done some, like, production samples or something, and then we had, like, a Mac Attacker report saying they're going to do a cheaper HomePod at the end of the year, so...
Yeah.
But that could just be... A tweet version of the current HomePod, so from like, you know, $350 to $299, for instance, like, yeah, rather than a whole separate model necessarily. Yeah.
I think that literally is an Apple HomePod version, or, you know, whether it's cheaper or it's like, you know, HomePod Lite in some way, where you just get less, you know, from the speaker. But this, I think, is what Apple showed on the keynote last year at WWDC 2017, where they talked about AirPlay 2, and they showed a slide for brands committed to shipping AirPlay 2 speakers. And, you know, it was, of course, Apple with HomePod. And they also included Beats, which is owned by Apple. And so they haven't shown the Beats speaker yet, but they said, we're going to, you know, Beats is committed to shipping an AirPlay 2 speaker, which is interesting to me because nothing that Beats does yet, like they had the Beats Pill XL, but it caught on fire a few times, and so they discontinued it. And they had the Beats Pill 2.0, which was a little skinny one with like a dude mold that was like a stand for it. And then they discontinued that. It was micro USB, and they made a Beats Pill Plus, which is lightning charged based. And it has a USB charge out, so you can charge your phone with it. And they've got a lot of colors of that. But those are like Bluetooth speakers. All of those have always been Bluetooth speakers. And they've not done like a plug it up permanently and have anything like AirPlay to it, just Bluetooth. So the Beats AirPlay 2 speaker is like kind of a mystery to me because they don't have anything like that yet and they haven't talked about it yet either.
It's not like they can take one of their existing products and just add a new protocol spec onto it.
Yeah, and I don't think that you'd like have a permanently wall-connected version of the Pill Plus. Like, I think it needs to be more than that. It needs to be more like the Pill XL. You know, just a bigger speaker to, if it's worth, you know, buying and not being mobile. So I think that's this, you know, $200 sounds about right for that. And what that gets you is it's Beats branded. It has a different design than HomePod. Like, it can be pill shaped if it wants to be. I would think that's likely actually. And maybe it's permanently, you know, anchored to the wall for power. Like, there's no battery in it. Cause, are there mobile AirPlay speakers? I'm not sure of that. For one, it works over Wi-Fi. So if you leave the house, then, you know, it's no good. And maybe you have Bluetooth as a backup, but then you don't have AirPlay. So I envision this.
I mean, you can do peer-to-peer Wi-Fi, right? So,
well, that, yeah. But
theoretically, if you left the house with it, the main problem is that Wi-Fi is, you know, generally more power hungry. So that's why these devices, all the portable speakers are all Bluetooth, just because it can be lower energy profile.
Yeah, yeah. And so then you've got an AirPlay 2 speaker. And so what is that? You can talk to Siri on an iPhone, an Apple TV, a HomePod, not a Mac, I don't think, and definitely not an Apple Watch. But you can tell it to play music on that AirPlay 2 speaker. Or you can, you know, AirPlay to multiple AirPlay 2 speakers, like a HomePod and a Beats speaker, eventually a Sonos speaker, ones from different companies. So then that gives Apple something cheaper to sell that's not a HomePod, but that can do AirPlay 2. But I think it would not have Siri, and that's the difference of like cheap HomePod. A cheap HomePod would have Siri, because that's what makes a HomePod, is the voice control. But this would just be like controlled from your phone or your iPad or your Mac, you know, something with AirPlay, but not voice, I don't think. And maybe it would even have like line in case you want to use it as like a, you know, traditional speaker.
And you can kind of expect like the Beats product to also support like traditional Bluetooth pairing.
Sure, yeah, because it's not...
Whereas the HomePod is more, you know, locked down and like Apple exclusive. All of the Beats products today are all much more, you know, you can be an Android customer and go and buy Beats stuff and be perfectly fine.
Right, and they're not like Johnny Ive designed where they've got, you know, ideals about what they want to achieve, you know, having be as minimal as possible, like no ports and, you know, the charger can't be pulled apart and that kind of thing. This could have Bluetooth and it could not be a compromise to Apple to do that. It could have ports like line in.
And buttons.
Yeah. Have a glowing B logo on it. And today, like everything that Beats makes now was designed by the design firm Ammunition. Like even the Beats Pill Plus, even the like Beats EP headphones, those are all like pretty new stuff from that, you know, since Apple bought Beats. They're still using Ammunition to design Beats stuff. So, you know, I would even go as far as to guess that this is like designed by Ammunition. It's like a, and that's why they say like Beats is committed to making, you know, Apple directs it, but they're not totally in-house doing this stuff. You know, it's still a company owned by Apple, but not Apple itself. So,
yeah. And there was even that rumor, like when Apple bought Beats, there was a rumor that they shut down a division of Beats that was working on like a home speaker.
Yeah, it was. They called it the Sonos competitor, I think, or Sonos killer.
Yeah.
And this would be, I mean, I think that was kind of before, like, voice control was a factor. But this would kind of be that minus voice, you know. But I think that's the key to this story, though, is that it's not really a cheaper HomePod, because if it doesn't have Siri control, which I don't think that it's going to have Siri control, then it's not really a HomePod. It's an AirPlay 2 speaker.
And unless Apple, like, as one of these WWDC announcements, is like, we're going to start a new partnership program which puts Siri on third-party devices.
Yeah, if it's like...
Because then they could compete more closely with, like, what Alexa's doing, where, you know, mm-hmm. you can get, like, a smart, you know, smoke alarm that has Alexa built into it, yeah. for instance. Like, potentially, if they're going to invest into Siri in a big way, they could do, like, a third-party, like, MFI program which has, you know, Siri built in, and the Beats product could lead that. But I think you're right. It would just be, like, a dedicated speaker on its own, and it'll support AirPlay 2 protocols. Maybe it's one of the things... I think it'd be pretty cool if you could have... like a dockable speaker that you have it docked and it works on like AirPlay and stuff, but then you can pick it up and take it out with you to the garden if you do want to do like Bluetooth and stuff like that.
That would
like,
be cool, yeah.
You know, like dock and charge, basically, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Remember when the Beats Pill XL was recalled and they were like, you know, in the announcement, they made a point that said like, this was made before Apple bought Beats. It's like, disclaimer, this was not like a Samsung phone blowing up. This wasn't our fault. And that whole story was like, there were a handful of incidents where people were charging the Beats XL speaker, which was like a very large Bluetooth speaker that you could, it was portable enough, but it wasn't light. It was heavy. People had on occasion, seen fire catch. I don't think there was like anyone hurt by it, but it was too many times to continue, you know, being an Apple sold product. And so they, discontinued it, and you could send it back to them for an Apple gift card. Or risk, you know, fire, I guess. So.
And, of course, this whole story is predicated on the release of AirPlay 2.
Yeah, which, I think just based on the betas having a better baked than previous versions, that it's more, like, if iOS 4 comes out, or iOS 11.4 comes out, and there's no AirPlay 2, and there's no iMessages in iCloud, then, like, I'm not sure what the point of it is, really. Like, maybe it's kind of like stability improvements and... you know, more class kit stuff. I think part of iOS 11.4 is justified by these features finally being available. But I would guess that AirPlay 2 is more likely to be included than iMessages and iCloud, just based on the betas and like how things are going there. But yeah, I mean, as AirPlay 2, like I think it's probably fine for Apple to reintroduce AirPlay 2 with like a proper demo. And talk more about its benefits, because I think people have forgotten what it can do. And it wasn't detailed in depth last year anyway. It was just like slides, not demos. And so they can even show us like coming today in iOS 11.4 AirPlay 2. And by the way, like this new speaker, or they could save the speaker for the fall if it's happening, you know, but,
like AirPlay 2 alone has implications for HomePod with like stereo pairing,
right,
see them,
right.
All the multi-room audio stuff. Like, I mean, we were saying a couple of weeks ago that when Tim Cook said new features are coming soon, he's probably talking about AirPlay.
Yeah. And now calendar, but maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Mark your calendar. So, yeah, I mean, and this is the kind of thing, like, I don't know why. I have, like, some affection for the Beats stuff. I don't have any current Beats hardware that I'm using. Like, I had the Beats Studio 3 headphones because they had the W1 chip, and there was, like, kind of like the, you know, Apple answer to the you know, higher end headphones, kind of equivalent to AirPods. But then there's the story that Apple is working on their own version of those. So I ended up selling those, and I'm just like, I still have a need for that kind of a thing, but I'm waiting for like the Apple version because I think, you know, it'll have its own benefits. But I would be interested in having this too, especially if it's like we talked about, it's like a hybrid Bluetooth and AirPlay 2 speaker. Like that's there's use in that, you know. Right now, I'm using a Bose, I think it's called a Bose SoundLink, maybe like 2 Plus or something, I don't know. It's got like a handle on it, and you can carry it around, and it's black, and it has like a charging base that you can buy that makes it wirelessly charge. And I'm using that as like my shower speaker, and like walk around between rooms and have like a louder than my iPhone speaker. So I can see myself buying this thing, you know, if it's real, which...
Yeah, I mean, like, as the summer you know, really starts here, like, the HomePod isn't really a garden speaker.
No,
you
know, yeah. What I mean? Like, when they say don't use it outside.
You still kind of need, like, something you can just kind of put on the, you know, the garden, like, live, you know, garden dining table and all sit around it, if you see what I mean. Like, There isn't, the HomePod isn't a great answer to that unless you have some sort of like weird external power, but then you also have to worry about it getting dirty. Like, it's not really an outside thing.
It doesn't need to get wet and humid. Like they I think they even say in the documentation, don't use it in a bathroom because of the water can get in, you know, it's just like in the air or the humidity. So this would be a good summer fit. I like that idea. And with that in mind, let's kind of move on to the section about our HomePod wish list for WWDC. So far, we've talked about WatchOS 12. Five, six. What version are we on for WatchOS?
Five. Five is the next version.
Five. Okay. WatchOS 5 wish list. TVOS 13 wish list. iOS. Hey, guy, help me out here on these version numbers.
No, it's TVOS 12.
Okay, TVOS 12. Yeah.
Unless you want to do a wish list for next year.
Not yet. iOS 12 wish list. And what we haven't discussed yet is HomePod and macOS 10.14. We'll save that for next week. Now, these version numbers are just like driving me crazy because they're all over the place. And in my story about the WWDC invitations, you know, I mentioned that iOS 12 is expected to be unveiled there. And I said macOS 10.13 for like the longest time. And Reddit had a field day with that. But I just, you know, I know it's 10.14, but there's just so many version numbers. And they don't mean.
And even on like the latest betas, the watch doesn't get a full bump. It's 4.3.1 versus 4.4. Like everything's so out of whack.
Yeah,
and, like,
everything is 0.4, but the watch is on like some sort of a bug. Which my theory there is maybe that 0.4 WatchOS 4.4 has the pride watch face that you know Guy Rambo discovered through accessibility settings as like a text description, and maybe that's in WatchOS 4.4 coming out probably like around the same time as all these other updates, but they're saving that for later. And that's why we're on this like bug fix beta, but that's just my theory. But let's talk about our wish list for HomePod like software updates. I'll let you go first this time.
Okay, so this is kind of like a mix of Siri features and HomePod features, but obviously when you're talking about the HomePod, Siri is such a critical part to it. Like, it all kind of rolls into one. One thing I mentioned back when the HomePod was brand new and I was kind of testing it out with Apple TV and stuff like that, was they need like a better way to use HomePod with Apple TV. Like, before it came out, everyone was asking us, like, how does it work with the TV? Can you pair it with the TV? And right now, you kind of can, but there's a lot of like asterisks on it. Like, you can AirPlay to it, but you have a lag when you're watching, you know, not optimized content in outside of like Apple's normal video players. Also, as soon as you ask the HomePod a question, it loses the AirPlay connection, so you always have to go back and reassign it. Like, so I think the feature request is some sort of like TV mode, so that if you know you're using a HomePod with the TV, you go into this like special mode in the settings, you pair it to the TV, and then it never loses the link to broadcast. AirPlay 2 reduces the lag dramatically, so that should sort out, you know, and iron out most of those issues. Plus, you'd get the advantage of being able to control the Apple TV with the HomePod's microphones. So rather than having to pick up the Siri remote and hold down the microphone button and talk into that, you'd be able to say, you know, the trigger words, hello Siri, and just talk to the HomePod, but it would relay the commands back to the TV. So you know how you can ask the TV app to bring up the shows and find the movies in the iTunes store and all the apps that integrate with that. You could ask the HomePod and it would just control the TV.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, and so like, because it feels a bit stupid to me. Like, I have a living room, and at the moment I have one HomePod, but I'm thinking of, I'm always thinking ahead, like, maybe I should get another one for different rooms and stuff. And it's like, in the living room, we have Apple TV, which is obviously connected to speakers from the TV speakers, but it kind of feels like a waste in that room to put a HomePod in the same place, because it's like, well, I kind of have Siri here too, but I don't. And because at the moment, if we listen to music in there, we just turn the TV on and, you know, just play it through the TV speakers and it's okay. But it kind of feels like a waste to have both the HomePod and the Apple TV like next to each other. But if you could like pair them together and have like a more of an integrated experience between the two, enabling, you know, Hello Siri trigger functionality and keeping the connection and just making it more combined and like a paired product, I think that'd be a pretty good feature, especially when you get like stereo mode, so you can do left and right channels and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it's a feature that people definitely want. Like, we've already seen a lot of examples of people having two HomePods, on either side of the television. Because I think if you just have one HomePod, then it's it needs to be kind of centered for it to be, you know, effective as like a TV speaker replacement. It's like a, you know, sort of like a pseudo soundbar. But once you get stereo pairing, then you can identify the pair of HomePods as like, you know, a stereo set. So then Apple TV could say, send the audio there. And then it might be worth their time to invest in this like TV mode for it. And it would definitely be useful because you're getting voice activated Siri in so many places, except for, you know, the Mac excluded for whatever reason. But except for like the box that's like on power and doesn't even need like, there's no situation where the Apple TV is on battery. So it's not a problem to be always listening for that command. And it still needs to use the button for on the Siri remote for that. So I think it'd be very cool. And I also think that like, you know, like you said, AirPlay 2 improves the lag situation. And I could even see a situation where that they do like, an easy setup mode where the Apple TV tells the TV set to send an audio signal. Like, you know, like pairing works now where the HomePod sends a signal, then your phone picks it up and then pairs by that audio signal. You know, the TV can send an audio signal, the HomePods pick it up with their mics, and then they know, like, hey, we're talking to each other. So it could be like an Apple, you know, super, super simple setup process too. So that'd be cool. One thing that
there's definitely something they could do there.
Yeah, one thing that's happening after WWDC this year is Sonos is having their next media event on the Wednesday after the Monday, you know, the keynote on Monday. They're having their own event. And what's expected, I'll be at the Sonos event as well, as in San Francisco. What's expected is a new version of the Sonos Play Bar, which is their sound bar. And the rumor is it'll have HDMI out, so you can do better, you know, it works better with like modern setups now with new TVs. And it'll have Alexa built in, so you can tell your sound bar what to play, you know, your voice. And, you know, I think like, and around that time, like AirPlay 2 will probably be out, and it's like, it'll probably be an AirPlay 2 speaker. So it's like even more reason, like, to have this cool HomePod integration, because you could have like HomePod. It's like, you know, have you seen the setups where you have a Sonos soundbar and then they're like their Play 1 satellite speakers and like their subwoofer, you know, you could do a similar thing with HomePods and even mix in Sonos speakers, with AirPlay 2. So that's a cool
thing. Yeah, and like a TV mode elevates the HomePod away from, you know, the crowd of just generic AirPlay 2 speakers into something more unique.
Suddenly $350 each is a better deal. Like you get more for it.
Yeah, and then my kind of second bullet point is a reorganization of how the HomePod kind of looks inside the Home app. And I don't know if this means making a dedicated like companion app for it in the same way they do with the Watch, or just kind of sorting out some of the organization in the Home app itself, because they have like three different places where you can find like HomePod settings, and it gets really weird. And my biggest request is when you press and hold on the HomePod in the Home app, that first screen is currently useless. It just says HomePod, and then at the bottom of the screen you can tap details or alarms. Well, I want that like intermediary blurred out background screen to actually have useful controls on it. You could have a mute button right on that screen. You could have the same music controls that you get from the control center, you know, like tiles, but put them on that screen inside the Home app. So you could pause music straight from there. You could change track.
Timers and clocks kind of you could have there.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because right now it's completely blank, basically.
Yeah, that's the way sensors appear in the Home app too, and hubs. It was like bland. No action there.
This kind of applies more to me than I guess most people, but at the moment my HomePod sits in my office essentially, and I'm the only one that really uses it. But on the same token, you can only pair the HomePod with one device at the moment, so there is kind of like a single user element to it. I think it'd be pretty cool if you could have like the top of the HomePod be some sort of notification light.
Yeah. Apple has designed HomePod to date as a single user device, like totally. There's no like consideration for a group environment, but they've also singled out, like they've rolled out features because they know that it can be in a group environment.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of like middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm asking for here is if like, and it makes less sense because you have an Apple Watch, but you have to imagine, like, not everyone has a watch, right? Like, you could see someone owning a HomePod and having a watch. It could, like, flash red if you've got new notifications in your phone that you haven't seen yet, and you could just, like, ask it to read them to you. And because you can ask it to read notifications on your phone already, right?
Yeah.
But if you ask the HomePod, it won't be able to mirror your phone's notifications. But, like, you could leave your phone upstairs, see a red flashing light on the HomePod and say, you know, read my phone's notifications, and it could read them all out to you.
I think Echo can do a colored alert ring to prompt you to ask about Amazon purchases, like shipment progress.
I mean, the HomePod does like a green light when you're on a call, and it does like the red flashing light when you're resetting it. So you just need something like that, like a subtle indicator that there's stuff to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. new email. Always new email.
Yeah, new email, new text message. Because the other thing it does do, if you send a message to someone, in those first few minutes, it will make a ding noise when you get a reply. But if you haven't, like, initiated the conversation to start with, it will just be silent. Like, if you have a pending iMessage, if it just, like, had the top, like, flash red or green, you'd know that there was actually something there. Like, if you've gone to grab a sandwich and you come and sit back down, you just miss it. Do you know what I mean? Like, a light, you know, a subtle notification light, possible feature. Again, it makes less sense if they make the HomePod more into, like, a shared family device and, you know, you could actually pair multiple phones to it or you use it more widely. But at the moment, for sure, it's, like, it almost works best in a one room where only one person is. Alarms. This really annoys me.
Yeah.
No custom tones. You get one tone. And I don't really care about tones. I want to set, like, Apple Music playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, play any song. Play Beats Radio, Beats One.
Best radio station,
like,
under.
Your favorite music station, the best music station on earth, as it will always tell you. But you can't, like, set that as what you wake up to in the morning, for instance.
Yeah. It's just like an alarm clock radio is like the most basic thing. And it's not like the iPhone can do a song, but not a station. And it's a totally reasonable use case for a HomePod is to be like a bedside speaker that you use as your alarm. Like, you could, like, can't you have reoccurring alarms in HomePod where you have them, like, you know, like on my iPhone, I have a Monday through Friday alarm clock, alarm set. Can you do that on a HomePod as well?
Yeah, you can say what different days it's on.
Yeah, so you say weekdays. And every weekday you want to wake up to a song, which is what I do on my iPhone. And you can say a station. I want to wake up to classical music. I want to wake up to Beats One. I want to wake up to pop. That would be great. So.
But no. The Apple Music speaker currently cannot do what an alarm clock could do in, like, 2002.
Yeah. The speaker, the music player.
Again, going back to, like, this is what I call, like, a concession of a wish list, because, like, I don't expect it to become, like, a fully fledged assistant device where it can recognize individual people and, you know, optimize which messages are available for the different people that are talking, you know, like, doing personal requests on a per person basis. I've kind of, like, set my expectations lower. But I do think they could do, like, a voice identification recognition feature for just one account. So, like, imagine you have it in the kitchen and it's paired to one phone and anyone can ask it to play music, but it relies on doing voice ID to work out if you're, like, the owner of the phone to send text. Because at the moment you can turn personal requests on or personal requests off. There could be, like, a third option if I think it's you. So if I talk to the HomePod, it could do texts and messages and everything else. Whereas if anyone else in my family would talk to it, they would just get the generic, you know, that stuff would be locked out. They wouldn't be authorized and they could just do the generic Apple Music requests, whether, you know, the non-personal commands.
And they already do a version of this with Siri on the iPhone where they try to not even let the voice activated Siri light up if it's someone else's voice saying the buzzwords. This would, like,
and it does a pretty good job on the phone, I think.
It does a really good job, yeah. With HomePod, it doesn't need to, you know, it can respond to the commands from anyone. It doesn't need to do that step. But it's the next step, which is, I know the voice because they can do it on the iPhone. It's like a test bed for the HomePod. And then on the HomePods, you know, and even call it a beta, like, say, that can work 100% of the time, but turn it on if you want to use it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and I'm not asking for the fully fledged, you know, multiple accounts.
Do you think that they'll get there, though? Like, in time?
Eventually.
Okay, yeah.
Eventually, I do believe that. Like, I think they'll catch up to everything that the other players have.
It just might take eventually. 4 years.
I think that timeline's at least another year away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and, like, because ultimately, at the moment, we're still on base principles of multiple timers, calendars, like, all of that stuff is still on the and to me, I think that stuff is higher priority.
Me too,
like,
yeah.
Before you worry about personalizing request per user, you need to be able to just support more requests and features, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I was the HomePod product manager, I'd be pushing stuff like, you know, doing calendar events way ahead of all the other stuff. Like, I know it's the thing of, and the trendy thing this year to be more, you know, like the higher order assistant features. But if you're an average customer walking into a shop looking at HomePod, I think getting the feature set rounded out of things like calendars, things like starting a phone call, you know, not just being able to hand off to the and use it as a speakerphone, but actually just call someone through it. Like, getting those things done first, for me, is high priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And initiating a phone call is on my wish list for sure, because it just messes up my brain. Like, I think about the HomePod as a phone device, because every time someone calls me, I hand off the audio to it and I use it as speakerphone. It works great. It hears me from across the room. I can walk around. I don't have to hold my phone up to my ear. It works fantastically. But then, like, I forget and I ask the HomePod to call someone. It's like, I cannot do that here. It's like, what?
And you know, I'm on the other side of that, where I never use it for speakerphone because I just think of it as not a phone device, because I can't make phone calls from it. So, yeah, it's the same effect.
But would you make phone calls on it if you could?
Oh, yeah. It would be the most hands-free way to do it. It's like having a home phone that can listen to you, but it's still my iPhone, you know? I would totally do that. I might even call my mom more. Like, it's easier, you know?
There's your ad, Apple.
Exactly.
Yeah. HomePod made me call my mom. Mm-hmm. But, and again, this isn't like rocket science. It's stuff they do on the iPhone and they just don't do on the HomePod today.
Yeah.
Multiple timers, that is something they could do. That's more like a wider Siri thing, but it's especially like accentuated on the HomePod, where, you know, a kitchen's going to be a very likely place. And when I make food, I definitely want to be able to time more than one thing at once a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do the mental gymnastics of setting, like, the earlier time and then remembering how much, like the offset after that. You just want to, you know, do a timer for this and a timer for that and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's hard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's not. So do it, please.
Yeah. And when you have multiple timers, you want to label them. And you can't even label, like, a single timer. Because right now, you can, like, if you have a lot, you know, if you're, like, all in on the ecosystem, you might have your iPhone in the kitchen and your HomePod in the kitchen and your watch in the kitchen. And you can do a timer on each of those devices. But the trick is to be able to label them too. You know, like, this is my spaghetti timer. This is my noodle timer. This is my sauce timer. You know, that's useful. And
yeah, and you want to be able to, like, ask HomePod how much time is left on the spaghetti, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, cancel the spaghetti timer, or tell me an update on all my times, and it could say spaghetti 5 minutes, pasta 10 minutes, for instance.
Yeah, and
like,
you don't get a huge applause from that, you know, like in the keynote, but maybe you do, because it's like, fine, like, you're listening. If you don't do it, it's just even worse, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like embarrassing that it's not there. So it's, should they mention it or not?
Yeah.
Like, I think what I hope from, like, the HomePod part of the keynote is, like, three features that we don't expect, and then just, like, you know when they do those
slides,
text clouds,
yeah,
of just, like, all the random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a one of them with, like, 10 things on
it. That's a really good fit. Yeah,
just like spread out.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I'll say, just for, like, Siri / HomePod, is I always, because I do a lot of my work talking to international people like you,
mm-hmm,
I always have to convert time zones, and the Siri functionality for the current state of doing, like, time zone conversions is terrible. You can say, like, what's the time in Paraguay, and it will tell you the local time in the country. But if I have, like, a time, like, this event's on at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time, there is no construction of what I can say to get that to convert it to my local time. Like, if you say convert 12:30 Pacific into local time, it will dictate it properly, but it won't know what to do with it. It will just take you to a Google search every single time.
I
sort that out, please, and I'd be very happy.
Yeah, I live in Central Time, and so in the U.S., it's mainly East Coast and then West Coast, and then Central Time and Mountain Time are like in the middle, and you have to convert everything all the time. But a lot of times I get story embargoes where it's like a certain date, you know, it's like 12:01 a.m. Pacific time. And so, you know, I've got to convert that. Or if it's like, what is it? GMT, you know, you got to convert that. And I've tried using Siri. And like you said, you don't get there. HomePod does some cool stuff that's not expected. Like it's really good at translating languages. It even speaks back in like the translated language, like gives you pronunciation and it really, the voice kind of changes. If it could do that, like then throw in time zone conversions too. It's like the same category, sure.
Okay, I think that's the major things of my list. Hopefully I crossed off a few of the things on yours, but I assume you got some left over.
You know, I don't think we have any overlap, which is good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to start out by saying my expectations for WWDC is that Apple does give some stage time to say, AirPlay 2 is here. It's not coming, but it's here. And stereo pairing is here. Like, if it's not, I'm disappointed. If it's like...
Here as in
today,
available, not here as in part of iOS 12.
Correct. Like, it's available today. Go and update. And it's included in these betas too, you know, but go and update your HomePods and we even show you, like, how good it is and how you can move sound around with Siri. So that's the expectation. It's not even guaranteed, which worries me, but I expect that. And if they get that out of the way, then I think there is room for new. The first thing on my list is kind of boring, but it's to have a beta program, to say, you know, here are all these new features coming in HomePod, OS, audio OS, you know, give it a proper name. We've seen it in code, say it out loud. And then say, and developers can try it today. Like, even if there's no purpose for it, just do that. Cause they do for everything else for developers. And there could even be a public beta program for it. I think people would use it. Cause you know, right now, if you're a HomePod buyer, you're probably an early adopter at this point. Like the product isn't even finished yet and people have bought it. So do a beta program. The next thing is kind of more general and I don't think it gets stage time, but it's so on my wish list, which is to fix podcast sync because right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the HomePod can play music and podcast and podcast is good for calling up a specific episode of a podcast and like hearing the latest episode of it. But just to say like play my unplayed podcast, the sync is so bad. It can ruin your progress on other devices. Because it can sync back the wrong progress. So fix that. I don't think that gets stage time, but it's just like you just notice it working. And you don't even need a point update for it. It can just be like a back-end fix for like iOS 11 and HomePod now. But do that, please. The next thing on my list is what I'm calling a now playing mode. There are times when on HomePod I'm playing my new music playlist. And... one example this week is the second song on my playlist was from Backstreet Boys, and I didn't know it was Backstreet Boys or that they were making music, and it was a bad recommendation for me. But I was just like surprised whenever I saw it later on the actual playlist, like on my phone. But on the HomePod, I would like to be told like before or after the song plays, like the Siri voice or whatever, say, you know, now playing or just like, song name by song artist, you know, or song name by artist. And it's not on by default and you have to ask for it. But you know, say, you know, Siri, enter now playing mode or something, or tell me, you know, every artist, you know, after this.
Oh, so it's like a toggle. Like you could say like announce what's playing.
Yep.
And then for every single song, it would say like at the start.
Yeah.
And then you could like turn it on or off.
Mm-hmm. There's a setting on iTunes on the Mac and Windows where you can have, I don't know if it's on Windows, I'm lying there, but on the Mac where you can have alerts for every song that plays, and it even saves it in your alerts history in the notification center. And I turn it off because like I get what it's for, but it's not for me. But on the HomePod, like I think it would actually be pretty good if like, not to say who is this on each song, but to have it, you know, I would only use it for like not when I'm playing my own music, but when I'm playing a playlist like that or like a radio station, you know, a station playlist. But it would be useful though. The next section for me is I call it borrow from Alexa. And what that is not like the multiple timer stuff and all that or like buying stuff from Amazon. But it's features that I actually use on my Echo devices like routinely. The first one is drop-in where you say, you know, drop into the kitchen. And so I've got the bedroom Echo, and it just and this is all because I've named each Echo in the home. And so they have a room name now. I've got way more utility out of the Echoes after naming them by room. But I say, like, drop into the kitchen. And my wife is in the kitchen, you know, whatever she's doing. And I'm in the bedroom with the baby. And I'm just like, you know, we're chatting back and forth. And it's like, you know, room to room intercom system. And I just happen to need to be like in the bedroom with the baby and not in the kitchen. And we can keep having a chat. And it's like useful. Earlier today, I didn't even know she was home. My office is on the other side of the house in like the garage. But she dropped in to the Echo on my desk, which is an Echo Spot. And so it's got a you can see if you're on another one with a camera and a screen. But she just dropped in and like it dings on my Echo and it shows, you know, it's got a screen. So it like shows which one she's coming from, I think. But there's like then we're having a conversation. It's like, oh, you're home. Cool. Like, you know, what happened? And I'm like, I'm not leaving the office. You know, and it's just a cool feature that we actually use. And I also use it with the kids. Like I'll drop in if I notice that my daughter's still awake. I'm like, hey, you really go to sleep now? And she's like, okay, I'm sorry. but it's a practical feature that's like if you end up buying multiple HomePods, they're on your home, you know, it's just one more thing you can do to justify its costs and actually use it. Another feature I use on the Echoes that I because I actually use it on the Echoes, I wanted to come to HomePod is announcements where you say, you know, with the Echoes, you say Echo announce and you say what you wanted to say and it plays the recording of your voice on all the Echoes on the home. But to say, you know, Siri announce and then it plays on all the HomePods around the home. I think it's something I use on the Echoes and in theory, I'd want to be able to replace Amazon in the equation and just use Apple products, you know? One factor, there's like a much cheaper HomePod for different rooms, but you know, the features would be useful. Next up is daily briefing. This is where in the Amazon Echo app, you tell it like what you want to be told from what services whenever you ask like what's up, basically. And you can get played, you know, a podcast, you can get a weather update from Amazon, you can get headlines from different news services. And this is just like so personal assistant space that like Siri on all the devices should be able to do this. But HomePod especially, like, cause right now if you say what's up, like Siri gives you a stupid answer, like a doofus answer of like, I'm getting smarter and working on stuff, you know? It's not good, but to be able to say like what's up and get actual information personalized to you would be cool. And then finally I've got brief mode. And what brief mode is on Echo is whenever you say turn on the light, you don't get like okay, you just get like a ding. I've not been able to figure out how to turn this on my Echo devices. I'm not sure where it's buried. I need to like look into it more. But even on Echo, like when I say turn on the coffee bar light, I don't like that it's like okay, you know, the light's on. That's all I want, and it gives you a ding. It's supposed to. I would like that from HomePod. A mode that is. An audio confirmation. They have a nice chime that you can turn on if you want it on for like serious listening kind of thing. I don't use that, but I think it'd be okay for this. Like right now, if I say turn on the kitchen, sometimes I'll get communicating. One sec. Okay. It's like, whoa, just don't do any of that and just turn the light on and then like, you know, chime if you need to chime. But I would use that mode. But moving back to that drop-in feature I mentioned before, that feature, like if you tie in the right stuff, which is just like signing in everywhere, you can even call like your contacts with it. Like my daughter, Emily, she called my iPhone from the Echo in her bedroom. Like she said, you know, call my name. And it made the Amazon Alexa app my iPhone ring, like a Skype call or something, like a VoIP call.
So then it's like FaceTime audio, kind of.
Exactly, yeah. And actually, it was a video call because she has an Echo Spot as her alarm clock. And we were, she was calling from the always on, you know, in her bedroom. And she, you know, but it was just really cool. It was like, wow, this is like interconnected stuff. This is really neat, you know? And you're not going to do like video call from HomePod, but just like to have that connectivity would be really cool. And they've got like the groundwork is laid out. They own the iPhone. It's not an app on the phone. It's like their own iPhone. So, and I think that HomePod should like shamelessly copy Alexa and Google Assistant. Like, don't be embarrassed by it, and don't be like, you know, too good to do it, or think it's like not you know, something intended for your product. Do it. Do all of it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of have to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so many of the things that, like, the Alexa products and the Google products kind of take the stance of, oh, we'll just do everything, right? Yeah. And then people use a subset of it. Well, most of those things are, like, pretty useful, so Apple can't just, like, shy away from it just because they weren't there first. Like, mm-hmm. when you're leading the industry, like, when you're doing, you know, when you are making the iPhone and doing regular updates to that, like, then you can be more selective, right? Sure. And be like, oh, we're doing all these, you know, artisanal cool things and that are both useful and also unique. But before you get there, you have to make, you know, you have to reach the minimum bar for all these different things. Like daily briefing. Daily briefing is a great example of, like, Apple made partnerships with all these news organizations to give you a news update. But what you want on top of that is a weather, your personal calendar, you know, and a couple of other bits of information that you can toggle in the settings. It'd be cool if you could choose your own podcast update, like 9to5 Mac Daily, if you really like tech news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now you can say, Siri, give me the news, and it will play from one of, like, four sources. I wouldn't mind hearing all four sources or picking, you know, a variety of those. You can say, give me sports news, give me tech news, give me business news, but it's a separate command. It's like, I wouldn't mind saying, give me the news, and having general news, which is, like, political, tech news, business news, sports news, all those is, like, one stream of things, you know?
Yeah, plus weather. Like, weather's really missing for me in that thing. It's like, these are asking all for weather as well as give, like, I like the news update, so I do actually use that quite a lot, but I always want to hear, like, local weather at the end. It's just,
yeah, and it's a separate,
you don't even
command.
Have to do anything complicated. You just take what you say when you ask what's the weather and just plop it on the end of the audio.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. It's like they almost have it. You know, put it all together, one command. The next few things on my list, we've got three more. One's easy. It's just iBooks audiobook streaming. And it fits in nicely with, like, if they change to Apple Books and then, like, do, like, a big revamp of the service to also revamp audiobooks, because right now it's, like, kind of like one device download kind of thing. Being able to stream audiobooks, you know, I want it on the watch, I want it on HomePod, because right now you got the AirPlay, which is not bad. Like, I've AirPlayed audiobooks to HomePod, and, like, that's how I will listen if I'm, like, working and listening to an audiobook. I love that. The HomePod is great for it. But you can't do it natively, even though Apple owns both services, you know, the HomePod and iBooks. And, like, aren't you a big audiobook listener? Like, to Harry Potter, like, every year or something?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I acquired the Harry Potter series through off the back of a truck.
Yeah, so you can.
It lives on my Plex server, and I listen to it quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, I don't expect the HomePod to support Plex natively, but if they did a Siri kit domain for audio, then hey, you can plug it all together.
Well, I have acquired books by trading money for books, and imagine that. And, you know, I expect to get to be able to listen to them on the HomePod, and I can't do it yet. And so being able to ask Siri, like, hey, you know, what are popular books? And I think you can maybe even do that, at least on the iPhone, probably not on HomePod. But, you know, being able to ask about books, you know, at least playing your library of audiobooks on the HomePod makes
sense. Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
Sense.
Like, anything you bought from Apple that's audio, you should be able to play on the HomePod, like, without question.
Yeah. You can do podcasts. You should be able to do audiobooks. Next thing is, this isn't really something that I run into as a problem, but I've seen, like, readers ask if you can do this on HomePod, and you can't, and it's really limited in the parts that you can. But I think they need to tackle radio station streaming better, because right now you can stream, like, NPR and local affiliate stations if you know their handle and you ask for them specifically, but it's not every radio station. I think it's just NPR. And
it, that's through, like, what you find in the Apple Music radio.
Right, exactly. So Apple partnered with NPR, so they've got that. That's how they're doing it. And so what they could do this a few ways, but they should branch out to different radio stations. You know, if there's an online version of the radio station, they should have it on HomePod, because it's a music player. It's a speaker, and it just needs to tie into Siri. And so, you know, maybe you do that by adding more radio stations to Apple Music Radio, you know, or you do the, you know, audio intent for Siri Kit, and then, like, TuneIn or iHeartRadio can put their whole library of radio stations in, you know, with Siri and HomePod. And like any solution is fine. Like probably, you know, being able to get tuned in an iHeartRadio's catalog in there is like the best solution, because then Apple doesn't need to make the partnership. They just rely on iHeartRadio and tune in to do it. But I mean, it would be good if it was like an Apple, like Apple could sell Apple Music better if they said, like, if you have Apple Music, you get all these things through HomePod too, you know? So,
And I mean, all they need to do is add more radio stations to like the new section of the music app, right? And then that would sell to the HomePod as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because
in the UK, we get LBC, which is like a UK station, and then we get Bloomberg and whatever PRI News and Insights is, something I've never heard of before. So I get three, I can play three news radio stations through Apple Music.
Yeah, we get, there's a lot. There's like ESPN radio, there's CBS News radio, there's Bloomberg radio. But then those are all like one stream for everyone. There's NPR News for radio, you know, as a radio station. But then there's also like the state of like versions of those, where they have some talk radio where it's like, you know, just if you're listening like on a little radio, it would be a certain station, and only people within range could pick it up. But there's also, you know, a digital streaming version that you can hear online. And there's a version of that for like so many stations anyway, like hundreds, I would imagine, maybe thousands. And you can do like iHeartRadio, the app on your phone, and stream it to your phone. Use CarPlay, even like get it in CarPlay with iHeartRadio. Because there's no audio intent for Siri, you know, for HomePod, you can't do it that way. And Apple hasn't made the deals. So when a reader asks me, can I hear this specific station that me and my wife listen to on the Echo on HomePod? The answer is no, you can't unless you AirPlay. That's just not a good solution. So,
That's bad. Like in Britain, like the big radio stations are run by the BBC. Mm-hmm. And like BBC Radio 1 is where Zane Lowe came from,
right? Yeah.
And they're huge stations, but there's no way to play them natively on HomePod at the moment. Like all you can do is AirPlay from another device, which isn't great.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfectly fine like feature update that would come to Apple Music, right? Or Siri, you know, and make its way to HomePod by that, you know, and it wouldn't be radical to expect that. So maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing they could put into like the Apple Music subscription. Like they do music, they do music videos, and now they have like a full set of curated radio stations, but like, you know, not like three or four as what I have, but like all the big UK stations would be on that.
Yeah. The only problem I can think of it with being Apple Music is if it's not ad-free because it's like the station being streamed. I'm not sure how the other stations that they have played with that. I don't know if they have ads or not.
I mean, I don't care. I don't care about that, like, because I think it's obvious, right? Like, that's a direct restream of live.
Yeah,
so if they have the ads from the live show anyway, like that doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, same. But if you do through TuneIn or iHeartRadio, then whatever they do now is what they do then, and then it's not even a problem with the subscription service because it's the free service. So and then the last thing on my list is music automation, because HomePod is a HomeKit accessory. HomePod shows up in the Home app. AirPlay 2 speakers show up in the Home app, but there's no automation for music yet. Like you said, you can't set your alarm to music. You can't set your alarm to like a playlist. Same goes for automation. You can automate lights coming on at a certain time of day, going off when you arrive at home, when you leave, with a command, like a scene. You know, you have one macro word that turns on there's a lot of things, but there's no version of that for music. And it's just really, it's like next step obvious to have a party scene that plays jazz or something, you know, like set my good morning scene in my office and, you know, a podcast plays or something and the blinds open, the lights turn on or something, you know, you do these different things. And for HomePod, it's like, I think it's, you know, on the roadmap eventually, but there's so many small things in the way. But I got, you know, it's one of those things where I got to have it on the wish list every year starting now. So
yeah, that'd be really good. Mm-hmm. Like if I get to have good morning, you know, turn on the lights and start playing my, you know, my music.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so nice.
I mean, my ideal like wake up scenario is like an Apple Watch that I can wear for a week without charging it. And like, so I wear it as like a silent alarm. It just taps me to wake up. I wake up to no sound at all. Then I say, you know, good morning to my HomePod. And like all that happens. It would be great.
Yeah. And like your home like becomes alive.
Yeah. Comes alive. Or good night. And it's like for 30 minutes, a podcast plays and it has a sleep timer attached to the automation, you know, make 350 feel a lot better than it does now.
And these are things that aren't just like generic assistant features, right? These are like things that fit the niche of what Apple currently portrays the HomePod as, like a music, you know, a smart music speaker.
Yeah.
And like all these avenues, whether it's alarms, whether it's automation, whether it's just being able to see the state of music playback from the home app, like all of these things fit the bill of what the Apple Music speaker should be able to do. And at the moment it just doesn't.
Yeah. I think this is the part where we acknowledge that maybe, you know, every year from now we just copy and paste this list and apply it to the next year. So
I'm optimistic. Like, yeah, I'm not. I really do think that some of the things we talked about in the last 20 minutes, beyond AirPlay 2 being released, will actually happen in 2 weeks.
Huh. Well,
I don't know how many. Maybe it's 3. But it's better than nothing, right? I would bet that we actually have some acknowledgement of new features coming in iOS 12, HomePod, AudioOS 12, however they want to frame it, like an announcement of new proper features for HomePod beyond the AirPlay 2 stack this year.
Okay.
And I will love it.
It's going to be a fun episode to come back to and see what got delivered, you know, if anything. So
the best thing will be if it's AirPlay 2 has been delayed till iOS 12 in September.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be a pain. All right. Well, you know, you're more optimistic than I am. I'm just managing my expectations. You know, I don't want to be disappointed. So that's how I'm rolling. With that being said, that's my voice. And that's the Happy Hour podcast for this week. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Matt Apollo Zach Benjamin. You are.
I'm BZA Mayo and not on Instagram.
And you can email us at happyhour@9to5mac.com or tweet at us. Also follow 9to5mac on both Twitter and Instagram. And we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.